Yeah. And I learned the names. I got fascinated because one of my study Bibles footnoted what the names meant in the Old Testament. That got my curiosity. And then I have a lot of kids, so I started reading name books, like what the names mean. But then I started seeing a connection of how they, you know, having had Greek and Hebrew and that kind of stuff, they all have those roots, Latin.
Everybody's proud of their name, most people are. And they like to know where it came from, what they can do the word.
Exactly. People want to know who they are, too. And when they know what their name means or don't know what their name means. Another thing I do in reverse is that when I meet somebody that has an unusual name, like maybe an African name or something like that, I'll ask them, I say, what does your name mean? And it's interesting. Let me tell a story. I was in a Jasmine Mediterranean restaurant, and I was going through the line, and one of the servers, I asked him, I said, what is your name? He said, my name is Amir. Now, these are all Muslims. They're all from the Middle East. And I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Amir. I said, what does Amir mean? He goes, it means a prince. I said, I know a prince. He's the prince of princes, and he's the king of kings. He goes, looked at me funny like, really? I said, yeah, it's in the Bible. He goes, really? And I said, is Arabic your first language? And he goes, yes. And I said, would you like to have a Bible study in Arabic? And he goes, yes. And so I was with one of our ministers from our church. So I went and sat down and we ate. And when we were about to finish up, I noticed he came out from behind the counter and started cleaning tables around us. And I could tell he wanted to make sure I didn't forget him. And I said to him, I said, Amir, I hadn't forgotten you. I'm going to go out to the car and get you something in a minute. So I went out and... by the way, you were asking about tracks. The American Track Society has a lot of good things you can order. And Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham, which is my favorite little Bible study, is in many, many, many languages. And so I had some of these in Arabic in my car. And I call it the portable evangelism van. You know, I've got all kinds of stuff. I got a little track racket in the back of the thing. So I went and got one and gave it to him. And he said, oh, yes, my language. Thank you, thank you. I said, do you have a Bible? He goes, no, but I know about the Bible. And this is what this Muslim guy told me. He said, I know that the Virgin Mary is talked about in the Bible. And Jesus is a prophet in the Bible. And Jesus is coming back. And that's all in the Quran. He said, and I said, yeah, that's all true. That's in the Bible too. And he said, yes. And so I gave him a Bible. But one of the things that he did, and Muslims will do this, they don't want to talk about anything in a group if they're with other Muslims. But individually, they really want to talk. They're really curious. But it all started when he told me his name was Amir. And I said, what does that mean? He said, it means a prince. And so I just went the next step. And then I asked him if he wanted a Bible study in Arabic, which he did because that's his first language. So anytime if you're going into a Mexican restaurant, I always take Spanish tracks, you know, because they Mexican. Now, it's not always true when you go to an Asian restaurant. You can go in a Chinese place and not find a Chinese person. Or you go in a Japanese place and not find a Japanese person. But they are Asian usually. And so that's another story. This happened, I was in Elkin, North Carolina, right up 77. Elkin's not a big town. And I preached in a little church up north of Elkin, kind of towards, like you're going up towards Virginia. And we came into Elkin to eat. We ate at a Japanese steakhouse. So I went out to my car and I got all the Asian tracks I could find. I had a little section of Asian tracks. So I got Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, and one other one, I can't remember what it was. But Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, and I don't remember what the other one was. Maybe it was Thai. So I went in, and I asked the lady, where are you from? And she says, I'm from Indonesia. I said, really? And I'm thinking, in my mind, what language is that? Because I didn't know. So I said, what about the people working? Oh, we're all from Indonesia. So I go outside, and I think God did a miracle because I don't know what the language is. So I just pulled out the thing and started flipping through, and I saw Malaysia. And I thought, okay, Malaysia and Indonesia are beside each other, and the language was Bahasa. But I didn't know that. I don't even remember putting that in there. I think God did it, but I don't know. So I got a handful of them, and I walked back in, and I said, is this your language? Oh, yes, my language. I'm a Christian. And I said, what about them? She says, oh, Muslim, 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 Muslim. Do you have more? Do you have more? And I said, yes, here, take these. Isn't that amazing? This is North Carolina. You go into a Japanese steakhouse and it's all Indonesian. So you just never know. And even if you're making the effort, God can do a miracle and turn your whatever tracks you have into whatever language He wants to turn into.
Did you say 53?
There's 453. 453 different native languages spoken in the public school system. Now that doesn't mean they speak it at school, but they represent somebody from 450 different language groups in North Carolina public schools. It is amazing. So, now the kids typically will speak English pretty well. The parents may not. And so that's something to keep in mind. But anyway, great, great question. Somebody else, comment, question? Yes, ma'am. Kathy.
You know, being in the school system, my kids, especially the ones that are troubled or struggling, a lot of them are struggling with issues that I really can't help them with, but they know that I care about them. They flock to me. And one of the struggles that I've had is not being able to witness to them because I just didn't know what to do. You know, I knew it wasn't the time to talk to them about the Bible or what was going on in their life that I thought was a sin. It was just that they didn't have a way to share with them. So I like learning about this three-story method. I'm going to explore that a little bit more. And, you know, we're kind of limited on what we can actually start out with talking to the kids. But once they start asking us questions about Christ, we can go into that. So I can't lead with Christ. So I just got epiphany when we were sitting here earlier in the second session about how I can help to witness to these students and how I can get them talking and, you know, at least broach that subject. So it's been
that's good.
Been tremendously helpful.
That three-story method really is a helpful process for a conversation outline. Yeah. It is. That's good. I think somebody else. Comment or question or something you learned? It does. It really does. Because kind of, if you start talking about something spiritual, they kind of expect you're going to do that. And when you don't do that, then they kind of relax and realize, okay, this person's really trying to be genuine. And just having open hands, having an open-handed agenda. Because I know when I was in college and I was trained with Campus Crusade for Christ and we learned the four spiritual laws, we wanted to walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I share with you the four spiritual laws? And they might say yes or no, but today that approach is not the best approach. You might be able to get to that point, but we have to put the gospel conversation in front of the presentation. If we try to do gospel presentations, which is how most of our training is oriented, we got to put the presentation at the end and not at the beginning. We got a different starting point in engaging people in conversation. And what's your name?
It's Gail.
Gail. Thank you, Gail. Yeah. Yeah, that would be curious to me. I'd say, I noticed you checked out a lot of books on atheism. What are you thinking about? You know, or
because all I could do was just pray for them because I thought, well, I'm in a setting where I can't really question.
Right, right.
It's choices and why are you doing it? Is it just a paper or is it, you know, are you really interested in that? Because I really wonder when he had checked out so many books on that.
Yeah. A really good website to look up is fortruth.net, the number four, the word truth.net. I see you're in your right mind, you're left-handed.
Yeah.
fortruth.net. I don't know how much stuff's still on there, but that was on the North American Mission Board website. It's their apologetics and different religions, that kind of thing. Hey, Will. So that's on there. All right, somebody else, question or comment? I'm glad that y'all are asking these. This is good. That's hard for me. I'm a talker.
Listen to what they have to say.
Yes, sir. Do you know that's probably the one area that I've grown the most in as I've gotten older, is I've become a better listener. And actually, there's a philosophy called listening evangelism, and it kind of plays into what we're talking about, is listening to people. And most of the time, people will give you, if you ask good questions can guide the conversation. You can actually control the conversation with good questions. But you got to be real careful that you don't overstep a bound with your question or you don't make a statement with your question because people are listening for statements in your questions and that's what they're backing away from because they think you're getting ready to drop a bomb on them, you know. So You just have to be careful. And that's what I was going to say about the open-handed agenda. When I was in college, I had an agenda I wanted to share with you, and I was going to share something with you, and I wanted you to respond. Well, now my agenda is open-handed. I just want to tell you about Jesus. You know, and I'm not trying to get you to do anything or respond. Now, ultimately, I want that, but you got to really leave that a loose agenda and just kind of take it wherever it can go, because sometimes you're sowing, sometimes you're cultivating, and sometimes you're harvesting, and you got to let God work in that. And the more you do it, it's like exercising a muscle. You get more comfortable with it. Now, I get thrown for a dinger once in a while, too. You know, people will do stuff, and sometimes it's a little intimidating talking to people, especially if you feel like God's telling you you need to go talk to that person, and you weren't really planning on it. Then that becomes really uncomfortable. But most of the things I do are stuff that happens in a natural process. I didn't try to create it. I didn't go out of my way to do it. I'm just talking to the next person. That's why I always give away cards. The thing I do with the cards, I had some John 3:16 cards. I don't have them in here, but the John 3:16 cards, Baptist men, North Carolina Baptist men print them. It has John 3:16 on one side and a prayer on the back. And all I do with them is say, hey, here's you a card. It's got a Bible verse and a prayer on it. Hope it encourages you today. That's all I do. Sow a seed. That will turn, some of my stories have turned into these big stories because all I did was give them a card. And it turned into a story. And it makes it real simple. Like, we were driving to the airport this morning and my wife said, hey, give me some cards. And so I gave her some of these Romans 6:23 cards and I was explaining how to, she says, no, I don't want that one. I want the John 3:16 because it's easier to do. Because John 3:16, all you got to do is say, here's the most famous verse in the Bible and it's got a prayer on the back. Hope it encourages you. I mean, anybody can do that. And she was giving them to the two girls that were traveling with her. And then the Romans 6:23 card has the website view the story on the back. And I always tell people, here's Romans 5:8, but on the back, it's got view the story. And when you pull it up, it'll say, watch the video. It's a 6-minute video. It gives an overview of the whole Bible in 6 minutes. Really? Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, it's a phone app, and it's in 20-some languages. And you just do it in a very casual way so that people don't feel offended. In fact, I've discovered the more comfortable I am talking, the more comfortable people respond. But I will tell you this, that doesn't matter to God, because the first time I actually led somebody to Christ and they prayed to receive Christ, I was a nervous wreck. I was shaking like a leaf, and I couldn't even believe they were listening to me, and I couldn't believe they even prayed, and then I was surprised that it happened. You know what I'm saying? So God can use us no matter what. We don't have to be even good at it. We just have to be willing. So,
well,
yes, sir.
One of the things that we do each Halloween, we meet downtown, and we have a time of trunk or treat, and we give out tracts. I use that word tract, but I mean, we give out the word.
Yeah.
What would you recommend if you could only give one thing out to a group of kids that come up and their parents? What would you recommend be the best?
Well, there's a lot of them. It depends on where I'm at or what I'm doing. I use a lot of different tools. I don't always use the same tools. I like Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. It works really good with adults. The story is good because it's an overview of a book, but what I really like is cards. Just an individual card, and it doesn't necessarily be this card, but a card. And the reason I say is because you don't have to, it's plastic. And it's a novelty in the fact that it's like a credit card, and it's waterproof. They work at the beach really well. They work with kids because it's indestructible. And then it has websites on it. And you can use it to witness with because it shows the bridge analogy. But it also has websites that you can send people to. And people are more likely to look at a website or look at watch a video or do a lot of things like that. So I found that these are fairly universal and it works with adults and with kids. These you can get through the evangelism and discipleship office at the North Carolina Baptist Convention. Did you pick up one of these? Yeah, it's on the back. Just call 1-800-395-5102 and ask for the evangelism office and that you want to order some of these. But you can also make them. And you can make them with whatever you want on there. Now, they're a little expensive to make, but that's another thing, too. There's a lot of things I like. It depends on what I'm trying to do. Most of the time, but I like Steps to Peace with God. I like the story. I'm trying to think of one. One that I did not bring in here, but I'm going to show y'all how to use, I like probably as good as any. It's called the Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. And I'm going to show that to you on my phone in a minute, but you can draw it. You can also use your phone. I'll give you this one, but you can get Life Conversation, the Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. and I'll put it up there. It's actually on this website right here, lifeonmissionbook.com. When you go to that website, lifeonmissionbook.com, you'll have to click on Three Circles, because that's like a website, but the Three Circles is an app that has a video with it, which I'm going to show that to you here in just a second. Since y'all asked that, let me just do that now. This is a good segue. Anybody under 40 will look at your phone. Anybody under 25 will look at anything you want to show them on your phone. They don't really even care what it is. And that's pretty amazing, actually. I don't know if this thing went to sleep. It has a sleep mode. It went to sleep about the time I pushed the button. But it, like I said earlier, it's easier to dig a hole with your hand than with a shovel than with your hand. And it's easier to use phone apps a lot of times too. And there's so many things that are available that are really good apps now. Yeah, this is coming back up. You can put these on your phone. And the thing about it, I'm going to show y'all how you can use this app, and then we'll switch back to the one that you have, or I might can do it on here in a minute. I'll show them how to put two of them together to draw a picture. See Verizon? The one right above Verizon is the Three Circles, and I'm going to click on that. Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. And all I'm doing is swiping my finger, and I'm drawing a picture. God's design. God made everything. It was perfect, and it was without blemish in His creation. But Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and disobeyed God, and their disobedience brought about a brokenness, brought about a curse on the earth, and the whole world's broken. And we try to operate out of our brokenness, and we try to do it, but we don't know what to do. But God had a solution, and that's the gospel. And the perfect life and death and resurrection and return of Jesus, the good news about Jesus is the gospel that can fix our brokenness. But we have to repent and turn from our sin and our brokenness and put our faith in the gospel. And then we can recover and pursue God's design. Now, remember the creation, the fall, the rescue, and the restoration? You can frame it. The left-hand top corner is creation, God's design. It was perfect. And then in the right-hand top corner, you put the fall. So you got the creation, the fall. Then in the right-hand, right side, lower corner, the rescue. Jesus is our rescuer from our brokenness and our sin. And then you've got restoration and be restored to God's design. And I'll put that together for you in a minute, but as you swipe through this, then it has, how do you respond? What should I do? And my life is broken. My life is broken. I recognize because of my sin, I need you. I believe in Jesus, came to live, die. Forgive me. I turn away from my sins. Put my trust in you and know that Jesus is Lord and I will follow. So there's the surrender. Now, another cool thing about this one is it has a video that you don't have to explain it. And I don't have the sound. Well, turn my phone back on, Mike.
We live in a broken world, surrounded by broken lives, broken relationships,
and can y'all
broken
hear that?
Systems. This brokenness is seen in suffering, violence, poverty, pain, and death around us. Brokenness leads us to search for a way to make life work. In contrast to this brokenness, we also see beauty, purpose, and evidence of design around us. The Bible tells us that God originally planned a world that worked perfectly, where everything and everyone fit together in harmony. God made each of us with a purpose, to worship Him and walk with Him. Life doesn't work when we ignore God and His original design for our lives. We selfishly insist on doing things our own way. The Bible calls this sin. We all sin and distort the original design. The consequence of our sin is separation from God, in this life and for all of eternity. Sin leads to a place of brokenness. We see this all around us, and in our own lives as well. When we realize life is not working, we begin to look for a way out. We tend to go in many directions, trying different things to figure it out on our own. Brokenness leads to a place of realizing a need for something greater. At this point, we need a remedy. Some good news. Because of His love, God did not leave us in our brokenness. Jesus, God in human flesh, came to us and lived perfectly according to God's design. Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took our sin and shame to the cross, paying the penalty of our sin by His death. Jesus was then raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to be rescued and restored to a relationship with God. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Simply hearing this good news is not enough. We must admit our sinful brokenness and stop trusting in ourselves. We don't have the power to escape this brokenness on our own. We need to be rescued. We must ask God to forgive us, turning from sin to trust only in Jesus. This is what it means to repent and believe. Believing, we receive new life through Jesus, and God turns our lives in a new direction. When God restores our relationship to Him, we begin to discover meaning and purpose in a broken world. Now we can pursue God's design in all areas of our lives. Even when we fail, we understand God's pathway to be restored, the same good news of Jesus. God's Spirit empowers us to recover His design and assures us of His presence in this life and for all of eternity.
By the way, all of this is on my phone, and y'all can put it on your phones. You can show the video, you can draw the picture, you can swipe it on your phone. There are multiple ways to be able to use that kind of a tool. And sometimes senior adults are trying to figure out how to connect with their grandkids. This is how you do it. It's really simple. Because they'll look at this, and it's so fascinating because it's on your phone. Now, how can you share this? Well, there's multiple ways. You can Facebook it. You can put this thing on Facebook. It'll take you straight to Facebook, and you can post it. There you are. Now, I'm not planning to do that right now, but... and then the other way that you can do it, you can email it, or you can tweet it. And there you go to email. And you can send that to whoever you want to send it to. Like, just for practice here, I'm going to send it to Ed. You have this on your phone, Ed? All right. Well, I'm going to send it to your email anyway.
You sent mine.
I'll send it to two of you. Remind me what your email is, Ed. It's not, it's your, what's that?
Rev.ed.
Rev.ed, that's it. There it is. I knew it'd show up. All right, what's yours, Kathy? Did you say you wanted it?
His wife.
Oh, you want it. Okay, what's your email?
Pamela Sue.
Pamela Sue, that's good.
ELA.
Yeah, that's my typing. Still.
Mine's at Cox.net.
At Cox?
Yes.
All right. I'll let you send it to everybody else then. It just went out. And then you can click on it and then you can create the app. So that's one app. And then the story was the other one I was going to show you. Now, this is really cool. This is the story, creation, the fall, the rescue, and the restoration. I haven't posted it on anything, but it's been seen 24 times in the last 30 days, 657 times this year, and I've posted it three times, I think. And 2.4 million people have seen it worldwide.
It's an app,
and it's viewthestory.com is how you get to it. The conversation piece... is those four questions. How did it all begin? What went wrong? Is there any hope? What's the future hold? Let me tell you a story. I'll just tell it to you as a story. I was at the State Fair, and how many of you have ever been to State Fair in Raleigh? Well, there's an ice cream place. It's North Carolina Dairy Ice Cream. There's always a long line. My wife always waits in that interminably long line, but right across from it's Butcher Brothers, and they you can get you a steak sandwich or a death dog, as my wife calls it, one of those big long sausage dogs with all the onions and stuff. So I always do that. And they got a little picnic area that's kind of indoors, and you can kind of cut in behind them and sit in this little picnic area. So I sit down at this little picnic table with my big sandwich waiting for my wife, and this couple comes in and sits down, and they're very dressed up. I mean, like, the guy's got on a three-piece suit with a handkerchief and the whole nine yards. He's got the perfect Jesus hair. It's like long but fixed. And this lady comes in and very dressed up, and I'm thinking to myself, they're really dressed up to be at the State Fair, and I wonder if they're entertainers or something. So, me being master of the obvious, said to the man, "My, you're really dressed up. What's the occasion?" And he said with an accent, "We just got married." I said, "Really? Where'd you get married?" He said, "In Sanford." And then I said, "You came up US 1 to the State Fair?" He said, "Yes." And then the dad sits down. He's a retired Army guy from Fort Bragg, 22 years in the Army, and he settled in Sanford. That's his daughter. This guy with the accent, I said, "I noticed that you have an accent. Where are you from?" He goes, "I'm from the United Kingdom." I said, "Well, you don't sound like you're from London." He goes, "Oh, that's very good." He said, how would you know that? And I said, I studied at the University of London one summer, and you don't sound like a Londoner. He said, you're right, I'm from Wales, I'm Welsh. And I thought to myself, connection, you know, my little spin cycle's going, what do I know about Wales? Well, the only two things I could think of was the Welsh revival when all the animals quit working because they didn't know how to work when they weren't being cussed at. And I thought, and then I thought, the other thing is I had a professor, my preaching professor in seminary at Gordon Conwell up in New England, was from Wales. So I told him that. I said, I had a professor in seminary and graduate school from Wales, and his children had very interesting names, Gwenfair and Merwin. He said, oh, very Welsh name. So I was just connecting with him. You know, I always look for a connection. And so his name was Colin. I said, well, Colin, I said, how did you all meet? He goes, at the university. I said, where did you go? He said, Sheffield University. So then I start my interview process. And all I do is just ask the next most obvious question. Oh, so you went to Sheffield University. What did you major in? Philosophy. Oh, well, who's your favorite philosopher? And he goes, Immanuel Kant. And I'm like, oh, that's like a German atheist. Oh, I don't know about that. But I'm just thinking it to myself. I'm not saying anything. And so then I ask him my favorite question. I said, well, Colin, I said, do you have any particular spiritual beliefs? And you set up proper life. And he goes, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. And he looks at his brand new wife and says, so what do you think about that? And I'm thinking to myself, dude, isn't that a little late for that question? And now she's a little more indignant. She sits up and goes, well, I believe in God too, but I don't believe in organized religion either. Well, I start laughing. Laughter always softens things. I said, that is really funny. I said, I'm a church consultant. I work with churches, and I don't believe in organized religion either. I said, religion is man's way of trying to organize God. I said, but God's way of reaching down to us is in a personal way through Jesus. Let me show you something. So I immediately pull out my phone, and I said, have you ever thought about these questions? How did it all begin? What went wrong? Is there any hope? What's the future hold? And I looked at Colin, and he goes, oh, yes, all the time. And I'm looking at the dad, and he's kind of got this look like, okay, I got a Bible thumper here. Where's he going with this? He finally really relaxes when I realize I'm just creating a conversation. I said, well, the Bible's answer to those four questions are creation. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, it's got scripture that you can pop up the scripture on there as you want to. God created the heavens and the earth. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. That's called the fall of man. But God had a plan to rescue us, to send a Savior, Jesus. And he did do that. And it's also, the Bible says, that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. You and I can be made right individually with God. We can be reconciled. But he's going to reconcile the world. And then there's a response. Well, at this time, both of them are leaning in completely. They're 28, 29, 26 years old, somewhere in their mid to late 20s. They just graduated from college. And they are leaning in. So I'm like, okay, they're really paying attention. So I went back. I went from the conversation to the one that says read, which is the booklet. That's that whole booklet. And it says creation. God created everything. It was perfect in creation. Everything was in harmony. Now, I didn't go this fast. But Adam and Eve were disobedient. They disobeyed. They ate the forbidden fruit. And there are consequences. And then one of the things they recognized right away was what? What did they recognize right after they sinned? They were naked. So what did they do? They covered themselves with fig leaves. So when God came to visit them and said, Adam, do you know where you are? That's really what the question was. He just said, Adam, where are you? But God knew, but Adam was hiding. When he came out, what did God do? Well, he killed an animal. He had to have killed an animal because he covered them with animal skins, which is symbolic because God made the first sacrifice. It had to be a blood sacrifice. He had to kill an animal and skin it to cover their sin, to cover their shame, which is incredibly symbolic towards the cross. So God had a plan from the very beginning. So he had to cover that need. But they had really a greater need, and that's to be rescued. They had a need for a Savior. God made a promise that he would send a Savior, because in Genesis 3:15, y'all remember the verse that says, he will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head? That's symbolic of Satan, you know, attacking Jesus, but Jesus crushing Satan. So y'all see the movie The Passion of the Christ? Y'all remember that scene where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's sweating blood and he's praying, and all of a sudden you hear the Jaws music and old Sneaky Snake starts coming. It's like dun, 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 and the snake's kind of coming, and then all of a sudden, wham! Oops, shouldn't have done that. Terrible projector. But he crushes the snake. Well, that one scene, it imports the entire Old Testament right into that moment of the process of Jesus' crucifixion. It's kind of powerful. So anyway, he made a promise, and he kept that promise, that he would send a Savior. I hope that thing's all right. And then there's a restoration. He's going to make all things new. And then we individually can be forever with God. And so what's your part in the story? And of course, I'm giving you the fast. We're rescued by faith alone, Ephesians 2:8-9. And then our response. And this doesn't have a set prayer. It gives you what to pray right here. We need to ask, we need to admit our need for God. We need to ask Him to forgive us. We need to trust Him alone to rescue us. And then the surrender part, follow Jesus as the King of your life from this day forward. So that's a really, really critical piece of it. And then it allows you to share this, either watch the video or share the story. The video is 6 minutes and it gives an overview of the Bible, but share the story. When it says share now, well, let's see, let me back up here. Because you got to pick a language. And by the way, look at this. Three different kinds of Arabic. Can y'all see this? And Dutch, which is German, English, Spanish, Farsi, which is the Iranian language. Hindi, Haitian Creole. I was telling my wife that they're going to Haiti or trying to go to Haiti. And there it is. There's Bahasa, Indonesian. Isn't that amazing? Japanese, Korean, Marathi, and Punjabi are Indian languages. Portuguese, Russian, Swahili, Tamil, and Telugu is an Indian language. And Chinese. And there's more on the website. So let's say, for our benefit, let's pick English. How about that? Now share it. And it allows you, you can text it. If you want to text it, you can text it to somebody. And by the way, you can set up your own version of it so that you, not your version, but you set it up on your own account. You can email it, you can Facebook it, you can tweet it. There's different ways to do it. Let's say we email it. Put the glass back on. And I'll send it to Rev Ed again. And Pamela Sue. There you are. And now, if you see right there where it says Story for Us, M. Dupree 1, what happens there, and I'll show you how that works, if you click on that link, it's going to take you to the video, but it's going to record it as having been sent from me. And here's what's really cool about this thing. You can set up your own account, and it will track where in the world it's being clicked on. 24 times, you can see one country, two languages. And I pull up the map, and it'll show you where people are clicking on it, mostly in the southeast. Of course, California is like its own country, right? And, and let's see if there's another one somewhere else in the country. It was in China the other day. I don't know where it was. I don't have another one on there because I hadn't posted it in a while. But what happens is it goes all over because everybody that's on your Facebook that shares it, it just spreads multiply. Now, you can set up a group like a church group. See where it says groups in the right-hand corner on the bottom? I taught at Wake Christian last year. I taught 7th and 8th grade period boys Bible. And one day they posted it. And in that class, we had like 30-some people see it within by the end of class. Now, almost a year later, not a year later, 9 months later, 550 people have seen the gospel as a result of them posting it one day. 29 times in the last month, 672 in the other class. So if I click on the 8th period, it says one country, one language. Let me go back here. In 7th period, two countries and four different languages. So let's open the map and see where this, just this class set up its group. Of course, it's concentrated in the southeast. There's California, of course. And this one's somewhere over in Europe. There it is. It is in Korea and China. Isn't that amazing? So it allows it to track. Now, you can't know who it is that clicked on it unless they, you know, email back through. But the way it's done through Spread Truth, which is the organization that does it, you get an email each month that tells you how many people have clicked on yours and how many people have prayed to receive Christ as a result of it. Is that not cool or what? Yes. That's just an amazing thing. That thing's dying on you? Yeah, so it didn't sleep. Yeah, I'll use it here in just a second, maybe. But anyway, because of the sake of time, of course, it takes 6 minutes. Do y'all want to see the video? How many of y'all have ever seen the video off of this? It's probably worth seeing. I'm gonna run it for you real quick then. I'm not going to talk a whole lot longer, but let's see if it'll...
Marty, you can turn that microphone on in front of you.
Yeah, right here.
You just have to set it
Yeah, that would be perfect.
There is only one story that answers life's most essential questions and gives a lasting sense of purpose and meaning. It's the story that inspires all other stories. It's the true story that defines every one of us.
Is it on?
This is that story. How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God. He spoke everything into being. With a word, galaxies appeared with stars and planets. Earth was designed for life to flourish. Everything God made was gloriously good and breathtakingly perfect. The highlight of God's creation was the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God entrusted everything he created to his beloved children, giving just one rule. They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God. Considering our world today, it's obvious perfect peace didn't last. Turmoil, war, sickness, troubles. We each have our share. What went wrong? It started when a fallen angel named Satan grew jealous of God and determined to ruin the perfection of creation. Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against his one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled, ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable with no way to fix it, leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted him to send a Savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming Savior's birth, life, and death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescuer. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as his mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in his 30s, he began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom and performing many miracles. After a few years, he was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits at God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make his story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. Everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
Am I back on now?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, thank you. I want to show y'all something on how to draw the picture if you just are drawing it on a piece of paper. Okay. This is a great little tool. Jeff and Wes are my new heroes today, by the way. Okay, so if you've got a blank piece of paper and you just want to draw creation, the fall, the rescue, and the restoration, then you can put the three circles inside of it. And it, oops, what did I do here? Well, I don't see it on here, but it's still working. I have a blank screen. But see, God's design, and you saw this already drawn out, brokenness from the fall, and then the gospel, repent, believe, return, and then we can recover and pursue. Now, those are two different apps working together that you can draw on a piece of paper. So the benefit of these kind of tools is you can give away a booklet, you can show it on your phone, or you can draw it on a piece of paper. You don't have to have any of it. And that's what's really neat about that. And because it's an interactive kind of drawing and discussion, it makes it very appropriate and conversational. Now, how do you get into this kind of conversation? All right, let's say that you're just talking with your friend at lunch and they're telling you about all the things they're excited about and all the things that they're... My daughter asked me Friday what I was looking forward to in 2018. And she was telling me all the stuff she was excited about. Well, God designed us to be passionate about something. We're all passionate about something. So that's God's design. So if you're talking about what you're passionate about, then talk about God's design. But most of the time, people are telling you their problems and what they're concerned about and what they're worried about. Well, if you start with pain, you just start with brokenness. You draw the three circles, leave them all blank. Draw the three circles, and they'll say, what are you drawing? I said, well, I'm going to show you something. I'm listening to you talk. And you draw the three circles, and then they start talking about all the problems and why things are like this, or their children aren't doing this, or the grandkids are like that. Write the word brokenness. And here's the key thing about it. Everybody understands brokenness in the whole world. Not everybody understands sin, and some people don't even think they're sinners. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how many ways people can creatively lie now. Summer before last, some politician made a statement. They were lying, but their statement was, I spoke inartfully. Well, that's a pretty creative way to say you lied. I spoke inartfully. Isn't that kind of funny? So people don't want to use the word sin, but everybody understands brokenness. You can back into the sin because everybody will agree they're broken. I'm broken. I can't fix myself. I can't fix you. The White House isn't going to fix it. But God's plan to fix us is the gospel. Amen? And so that gives us some different ways. And the Three Circles Life Conversation Guide is the one I just showed you. And then that was that. Let's see if I can go back here. Yep. So you draw it. Oops. You just put the creation, the fall, the rescue, and the restoration, put your circles in, and whoops, I must have hit a button. Uh-oh, I'm hitting too many buttons. I can't get it to, let's see. Oh, there we go. I'm just going to put it back on the picture. This is a cool little operation when you know how to do it instead of messing it up. It's not completely idiot-proof because I've proved that. But it is really work great. There we go. All right. Well, I'm not going to keep us here much longer, but I did want to just share these things, and I hope this has been helpful to you. I was going to tell you one more story, though. Maybe I'll tell you three more stories before it's over. But there's one that I mentioned to you about a goth dude. And this goes to the principle of seeing people as either scenery or machinery. We see them as scenery, what do they look like, or machinery, what can they do? We need to see them as a soul with eternal destiny. All right, I made this story. I told the story about we do church like a man fishing in the middle lake without a fishing rod, wanting the fish to jump in the boat. All right, well, this is a story where the fish jumped in the boat. It wasn't a traditional church building. Toby Frost is from Wilmington, North Carolina. He was working with the North American Mission Board, and he was planting a church in suburban Atlanta. Now, where they were meeting was probably an elementary school or a theater or something like that, but it was a common building that people would be more comfortable coming to. So anyway, he's preaching, and this guy comes in the back and sits on the back row, and he's a goth. He's got the black trench coat, black combat boots, hair dyed black, silver jewelry, white makeup. Toby said he calls them mall vampires because they hang out in the shopping mall in groups and they look like vampires. He was kind of being funny. But anyway, he said the guy would slip in here and preach and slip back out. And that went on for several weeks before he ever got to meet the guy. So he worked his way back there and met him one day, and his name was Travis. And so he continued to minister to Travis. Travis continued to come. And then all of a sudden, Travis became a Christian. He prayed to receive Christ. Well, he started sitting on the second row. But he didn't change his garb. He still wore his same getup. And they had like, you know, bring a friend, pack a pew night or whatever. And the evangelist said he preached the whole message with everybody in the congregation looking at that row of guys all in their black trench coats. Scenery. So that went on for a while. Then one Wednesday night, Toby gets up to speak. And there's a guy sitting where Travis always sat. Normal looking guy, clean cut and street clothes. And Toby goes up to him and goes, "Travis, wow, you've really changed. Why the big change?" And Travis said, "Well, I'd witnessed to all my friends who were like me, and then I tried to witness to my boss at work, and he said, why should I listen to a freak show like you?" And Toby used that in two ways. He said, sometimes it's hard for us to get beyond somebody's exterior to be able to even talk to them because we're so put off or, you know, disoriented by their exterior. He said, but also sometimes our attitude is a barrier to us being able to share with people. And he said, but he was willing to change his getup because it had become an interference in his ability to witness. Well, anyway, then Toby's eyes just fill up with tears. And he said, you will never guess where Travis is today. He said, Travis now is a missionary with the International Mission Board in Central Asia, where it's against the law to be a Christian. He's there as a tent-making missionary. In other words, he has a real job, but he's there to be a missionary, but he's with IMB. Now, I shared this story, and you can't read a book by its cover. You have no idea what God's going to do with somebody when we're witnessing to them. The bizarrest person, the weirdest person, the most biggest sinner, the furthest person away from God, when God captures their heart, can change them. Think about the progress. The guy does kind of, he's drawn to God, so he shows up at the back of the church. He stays there for a while. He becomes a Christian. He moves to the second row. He changes his get up, and then God calls him overseas. Isn't that amazing? You can see the process even as he moves into the building and through the building. But I shared the story at a church in Moxville at a missions conference a couple years ago. A man came up to me afterwards and said, I have two daughters. One of them's married to one of the ministers here and who's not there now. He's in Charlotte. And my other daughter is in one of the stan countries in Central Asia with Travis. She told me that story. Is that not amazing? So God can do anything He wants to with anybody He wants to. We just need to be obedient and show up and watch God at work. I call it stepping into God stuff. Amen. And so I hope that encourages you today. And there's so many different things. I'll leave you with this. God's timing is absolutely perfect, and everything has a purpose. We are cleaning out my dad's house and getting it ready to sell. And we also redid our house and redid our carpet. And so when you redo your carpet, you got to take every single thing out of your room. And when you live in a house for 19 years like we have, you got a lot of junk stuffed everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So my wife is cleaning out her closet, and all of a sudden, something she comes across spills this big old thing of change. She had like a bowl that she didn't even know, full of change. I'm talking like $4 or $5 worth of just pennies, nickels, and dimes. I don't know where it was there. I don't know what she was doing with it, but it got all over her floor. So I'm standing here, and she's picking it all up, and I'm putting it in my hands. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this change? This happened on December the 4th. She gave me the change on December the 3rd. The story happened on December the 4th. So I'm filling up this stuff. So I do like you do. You know, you put it in your pocket because you don't have anything else to do with it. So I figure I'm going to take it to my car, and I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. So I'd put it in my pockets, and so I go to work on the 4th, And I got my pockets full. And I'm like, I'd gotten into the office and I turned and went back out to the parking lot. I got to get rid of this change. So I'm going to put it in the cup holders in my car. That's what my idea is. I had no idea what I was going to do with all this change. And I was walking to my car thinking, what am I going to do with all these nickels, dimes, and pennies? I don't need all this stuff. I mean, I don't know what to do with it. So about this time, a guy's walking down the road. Now, our office is in Lillington, North Carolina, but it's not on a main road. It's on the Mamers, it's the old 421. So it's a road that goes through a neighborhood, but it's a cut-through road. And this guy's just walking down the road. I look up at him, and he says to me, "Sir, I have a really interesting question for you. Could you give me 50 cents? I am not even kidding. I said, "You hang on 1 second," because I was carrying some stuff back in. I said, "Don't leave." I said, "I got a bunch of change. Just don't leave." So I figured, okay, God, you are up to something here. So I asked this young man what his name was. His name was James. He's 30 years old. He said, "I work at Hardee's. I'm off today. I just moved here from Holly Springs. I'm living with my mom. I work at Hardee's." And he said, "I was going to the store and I discovered that my debit card has nothing in it. I can't use my debit card. And all I really wanted to do is buy a soda. And I just need 50 cents. I mean, that's all he asked for, 50 cents. I said, "I can do better than 50 cents. Just wait a minute. I said, "Hold your hands out." I just poured him a bunch of change. I said, "But here's what I want you to know. James, this is not an accident. God," and I told him the story. I said, "We're cleaning out a closet, found all this change, didn't know what to do with it. I'm walking to the car thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do with this change." And you walked by right at that moment. I said, "That is God's absolute divine, perfect timing moment, because this is not about 50 cents. Where are you with the Lord?" And then this wasn't conversational evangelism. I was able to jump right to the message with him. And I said, "James, has there ever been a time you've asked Christ into your life?" He goes, "Yeah." And I gave him John 3:16 card. He said, "Oh, I know that verse. I learned that." That's the first thing I did. I gave him a card. He said, "I know that verse. I learned that in Vacation Bible School or whatever." And this is an African-American guy. He said, "I know that from church." I said, "Well, has there been a time that you've ever asked Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior?" He goes, "Yes, sir. But I'm not where I need to be." I said, "Do you think that it might just be that God has something bigger for you and he wants you to do something greater with your life? And we happen to run into each other at this exact moment because of that?" "Yes, sir." And I said, "Can I pray for you?" "Yes, sir." And I prayed for him. And I gave him probably $2 worth of change. I don't know what I gave him, but he only asked for 50 cents. But see, that's the perfect, incredible timing of God. Nothing's wasted when we have our eyes and our heart open to what he wants to do. Amen? Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for this time. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want us to finish up our time by making a big old circle. We'll pray for Pastor Ed, pray for this church. And you want to hold my hand. Thank you, Will. I'm going to let y'all pray too. I'll call on a couple of you. Anybody who wants to can. Thank you guys up there. Y'all are a hero team. Y'all like the dynamic duo. Y'all like Batman and Robin, Lone Ranger and Tonto. Yes, sir. Hey, I'm just going to let us close in prayer. And I'm going to ask you, Leonard, if you'll open us in prayer. And Lionel, I'm going to ask you if you'll close us in prayer after appropriate time. And anybody wants to pray, just have a season of prayer. And one of the things I specifically want y'all to pray for is pray for Pastor Ed and pray for the outreach of this church and his family. Pray for he and Pamela Sue over here. And I like that. Hope you don't mind me saying that. Brings back good memories for me because you don't hear those names anymore like that. So, but let's pray. You lead us and we'll all take a turn.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now, Lord, for this day you've given us and for this time. And Lord, we thank you for your servant who has been here with us today and who has helped us understand a lot of things, a lot of questions that we might have when it comes to relationship and how we should react to others. Lord, I thank you for him. Pray that you bless him in his ministry. Now, Lord, as we think further ahead, Lord, we want to thank you for our Pastor Ed.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, you continue to bless them. We thank you so much for them being with us. They help our church so much each and every day. And we thank you for their willingness to be here. We pray for them. We pray for you to give them guidance. Pray for giving strength, courage, good health, we pray.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for our church and lift it up to you, each and every one. Thank you for the ones who prioritize their time to be here. They could have been anywhere. Lord, we thank you they're here. you for their coming to be here, Lord. And we ask your blessing. Then, Lord, we ask that you go with us now, Lord, as we go further into the day next week. Help us to remember what we've heard here today and apply it to our hearts and our lives that we may help someone else along life's way. Blessings, I pray in your name.
Lord, I just continue to praise you and thank you for all the folks here at this church and pray for your favor and your blessing on them as they go out, as they reach out to the community, reach out to their neighbors, friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Lord, as Fred Luter says that we do frangelism, friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Help us to pray for them, share a testimony with them, invite them to church, bring them with us. Father, I pray for the young people. I pray for Will, and I pray for all the young people in this church, the children and grandchildren of the members of this church. I pray for your guidance and protection over them. I pray for each of them that you will protect them from bad relationships, and that you will bless them with good and godly relationships, both male and female, that would be pleasing and honoring to you throughout their lives. Help them to grow to be good and godly men and good and godly women who stand up for you and walk closely with you. Father, just capture their hearts. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Anybody else who wants to pray? We have a little time before Lionel closes us. Amen. Amen.
Hey. Thank y'all for coming and thank you for staying.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to give that to you.
God bless you, Brother Marty.